Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
I'm excited. The doctor told me Friday that I was going to feel like a new man. I just hope that doctor knows what he's talking about. I argued with him for 30 minutes. He won. So we'll be going on the 18th. He said, I'll feel a lot better. And I said, that sounds good. I hope you know what you're talking about. It's good to see each one of you here today, and it's always a blessing to be able to be here and us come together to worship God and us come together for our period of fellowship that we have from time to time. What is it that you would want to tell your children or your grandchildren the most? If you had one thing that you could impress on young people, what would it be? Have you given it much thought? We know that we spend a lot of time with our kids and our grandkids, and Jay Cruz, he follows me around a lot of times, and we outside together, we're around the house together. Everywhere I go, it seems like he wants to go with me, and that's great. But what is it that's most important when we think about our young people? A couple questions up here on the board. What are we teaching our children? And what is your attitude about the church? You know, I guess if I could do one thing, if I could persuade, convince, encourage my two grandchildren of one thing, it would be the confidence that they need in the Bible, the confidence that they have or should have in the church. Try to teach them the love that God has for them, and in turn, the love that they should have for God. The dedication that they could spend in their life, or they should spend in their life, in serving God and worshiping God and fulfilling their requirements, their duties that God has laid out for them, that they dedicate their lives to service to God. Now, the other side of that is this. Do we spend the time teaching our children and our grandchildren, our young people, those things, or do we spend more time talking about worldly things or worldly ideas, or do we focus our attention on our young people, the love that they should have for God? I found an article this week, digging through my old files and looking and cleaning out some things, And I couldn't find all of it. It was faded, but here's some of what I found. It was talking about the church. It was talking about unity of the church. It was talking about the love that we have or should have for each other and our responsibility as a whole, the whole congregation. What is our responsibility? Here's a few things that I wrote down. We need more knocking on doors and less knocking on each other. We need more sound heads and fewer sore heads. We need more open hearts and fewer open mouths. We need more seed slinging and less mud slinging. We need more sacrifice of self and less sacrifice of others. We need more concern over direction instead of speed. Focusing on God. Focusing on the church. You know, when we look back of our life, and I done the math this morning, it was 36 years ago, I obeyed the gospel. 36 years ago, I became a Christian. I look back on my life. I look back at where I've been and what all was taking place in my life so far. I remember Nick very well the day I obeyed the gospel. I remember the preacher, the song. I remember everything about it. I remember how I felt when I stepped out of the aisle and walked forward. Oh, David, I can look back and even remember immersing me in the baptistry. And when I come up out of the water, I remember the feeling that I had that day. I didn't understand everything about it. I was about 12 years old, or I was 12 years old. I didn't understand everything that I understand today, but I do, looking back, I do remember that I understood that I was doing what the Bible had taught me to do. And that day, I was being obedient to God. And that the sacrifice that Jesus had made many years ago, his sacrifice of being nailed to the cross and dying for sins, that my sins was being washed away. And I remember Bill Irby preaching down there, and I remember him talking about what a Christian was and the responsibility. And I remember thinking to myself, it's not something that you take lightly. And over the years, I've relived that over and over again because I've baptized several people over the years. And a lot of times, personal illustration or personal story would come in when I was teaching someone. So I don't know how much of that I remember from that day or how much I remember from over the years that I continue to use that in sermons and in Bible studies and different occasions that I have, reliving and talking about the day that I became a Christian. But once we become a Christian, we are somehow, should be, transformed from an old creature to a new creature. We've got a new life. We have a new dedication. And that is that we're going to serve God and that we're going to worship Him in the right way. And we're going to look at several of those things today as we think about our responsibility and what should happen. But the danger, now where we're going with this, is this point. The danger today is people quitting the church. The danger today is people quitting God and saying, I'm not going to be faithful to God any longer. You know, it breaks my heart. Steve and David and even Dale has told me since I've been here, it's hard for me to let things go. And it bothers me tremendously. When someone walks out that door and they never come back. Because I began to think to myself, what have I done or what could I do different? What can I do to encourage or get that person to come back to God, to come back to church? You see, because the church is more than just a gathering place. It's more than just an event. It's more than just a social club. It's more than we just love each other. We're in Christ when we're here. When we're a member of the body of Christ, we're in Christ and we're in a saved condition. When we're obedient to God and we're baptized for the remission of our sins and we live that life that's pleasing to God, we are living in a saved condition. And when we leave this earth, we can know without a doubt that when we breathe our last breath, when we leave this earth, that we will have a home in heaven. And people will walk out and forget that and go on about their lives. Not thinking or not dwelling on eternity. And I'll tell you what hurts me more than that. Is when family members do the same thing. When people that have taught you got you to where you're at in your life. And they leave the church. It tears me up to think that anyone would turn their back on God or turn their back on the church and say, hey, I am not going to live that way any longer. That's what we've got to teach our young people. That's what we've got to put in our own minds, because we cannot be a people that will be here one day and decide I'm not going to do it any longer. Because look at where you started, look at where you're at. You don't want to go back to where you were at. Jay had a sermon in his book, When We All Get to Heaven. In his introduction, he said this. He said, most children have made at least one of these statements. How much further are we there yet? When will we be there? And I remember when he was talking about his sermon, he was talking about the excitement of when he would go on vacation or we would go somewhere. The anticipation sometimes more than you can bear, the more than you can stand. And you go to thinking to yourself, how much longer do we get to this enjoyment? You know, when I was a kid, I don't know when the Opera Land closed. I don't think the kids ever got to go. I don't remember. But when I was a kid, Opera Land was big. And that was a trip for us. Go to Operland. It was fun. And we would go to Operland, and I remember how long I used to think it was from Tresmont to Nashville, because I thought we never would get there, because I couldn't wait. I could not wait to get there to ride all the rides that they had, and it was so exciting. When I was a kid, when I was 14, Jana was a little older than that. She's older than I am, for those of y'all who didn't know that. We drove from here all the way to Disney World. Oh, that was a long trip. We got there and stayed 2 hours. We left. We went and done something else. I won't go into details why. But that was a long way for nothing. But it sure was exciting on the way down there, because all I could think about is getting to Disney World. And that's what Jay was talking about here in his sermon. He was talking about the excitement that we have, things that we know, things that we think about on this earth that we know to be fun, enjoyable, that we want to be a part of. We anticipate that, and we wonder, how much longer is it going to be before we get to enjoy that? He talked about when we all get to heaven. Point number one is we're singing. We sing while on this earth. We sing during worship service, and we offer that praise to God, and it means something to us as Christians. When we all get to heaven, and I'm sorry, but I wanted that one verse sung before we get up here. Go, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And in this sermon, Jay talked a great deal about how much we sing on this earth and how much greater it's going to be one day when we're in heaven. That our purpose, our goal, our desire in heaven will be to praise God and glorify God. Now listen, just like it is here on this earth. Steve and I were talking, I think it's Steve and I here a while back, talking about worship. A lot of people appears not to have a very big commitment about church service, attending church service or worship. Not talking about you, because you're here. But people have a struggle sometimes of being here every Sunday morning. And the struggle gets even greater when we talk about tonight at 5 o'clock. And the weight gets heavier when we get to Wednesday night. Trying to decide, trying to commit, trying to decide whether I feel good enough to go and worship God. And the problem with that in my mind, and you're welcome to challenge me on that on the way out, but struggle with me in my mind, when we struggle with the idea of whether or not I want to worship God 3 days a week, we're going to really struggle when we get to heaven, if we get to heaven. Because our time there is going to be spent in worshiping God. and praising God and giving Him the glory and the honor. The second point Jay Park brought out in his sermon and was that we're walking. There's a certain way we walk. We walk as pilgrims. We're just journeying through this earth. We're doing the very best that we can. We know that we're not going to be here a long time. We're just passing through. We're looking forward to that song that Nick led for us. When we get to heaven, we're looking forward to that day. And his second point under we're walking, he talked about one day our travel will end. Let our traveling end with the confidence that Paul had in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The confidence that we need to instill in ourselves and our young people that when we leave here that we have that hope, that assurance of heaven. And then the third and final point he brought out in his sermon was we're serving. We're serving. He said we must be true and we must be faithful. And he talked about everyday service and we're serving to be with Him in glory. That's the reason we serve God. Let me back up for just a minute. When we talked about going to Opryland or Disney World or wherever we want to talk about, we anticipate the excitement, the joy, how wonderful it's going to be. Do we ever anticipate heaven? The excitement, the joy. Brother Jimmy, the struggles will be over. The hurt, the pain, the loss, the sadness, all that will be gone. Not that we want to sit here today and say, I want to die or I want to leave this earth, but the anticipation as Christians that drives us every day and lets us know that we will continue this course, we'll continue to live, we'll continue to be faithful, and one day we will have that home in heaven and we will be reunited with our loved ones and our family. The church is that important. The church is that important to each one of us because we have to make sure that we're faithful to God. Challenge to our young people, especially everybody, but especially our young people, when you get out of high school or you get out of college. I said last Sunday night, be careful who you date. Be especially careful who you marry. Because your struggle may get to the point that, yes, I'm a member of the church, but I marry someone that's not a member of the church, and they may pull you away from the church. They may persuade you, encourage you, or help you to walk away from the church. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, that last part of that verse is so important to you and for me. That Jesus is the Savior of the body. We have got to make sure that we're in the body of Christ. Went to a wedding last night, talking to someone about where they preached, and they told me the name of the place where they preached. It was not the church. It was not even any of the popular denominations that we heard about or know about. It was something that had been created, something had been started. Now, I didn't engage in great depth with him because of the place that we were at and people that were passing by all the time. But in my mind, I thought last night when he was telling me about where he preached, I thought, why? Why did you go and why did you start a quote-unquote church? And he was telling me how dynamic it was and how people came as you are and how that their worship service was conducted and different things. He said it's just really enjoyable. It's really something to behold how people come there with the enthusiasm and the excitement that they had when they come there to worship God. And I know that they have a big band there and they have excitement, really, is the word that he used. So this morning, I want to stress that you be careful about where you go and what you do. Because we don't want to find ourselves outside of the body of Christ because he is going to save his body. And we've got to be there. When we think about the church, we think about where we're going to be and where we're going to attend. So many people leave the church. So many people jump from this church to that church, back to over here. You don't ever know where they're going to be. Concentrate on what the Bible says. When you talk to someone about a denomination or you talk to someone about the church that they attend, here's a few things that you can bring up and hopefully that can help you understand whether or not it is the church. And number one is, who is the builder of the church? When did it begin? When you go back and you look at the denominational world, we're about to run out of time already this morning, but if you go back and you look at the denominational world, you do the history, you Google or you go to books that you may have, and you do some research. The denominational world, on every one of them, you can find a date that they began. And you can even find the name of the person who started it. Versus going back to the Bible and saying, where did the church begin? Where did it start? You see, the reason we have, and I know you all know this, but the reason we have so many denominations today is because people didn't like what was being taught. And even the church today splits, and even over in the Philippines where I went and done some mission work one time, there was two churches of Christ over there. One was right, one was teaching the truth, and they called themselves the Church of Christ AD 33. And the other one was just called the Church of Christ. So they had already divided over there, and the other one had brought in ideas and teachings that was more worldly than the Bible had taught. So when you go back and you look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So the first two questions, actually we'll tie these together for sake of time, scriptural builder and the foundation. Where is this church, quote unquote church, where was it founded and where does it stand? We've got to look at what the Bible says about the truth. And we've got to make sure that we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth that we'll get to in just a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, when we think about a name, when we think about what we're going to be called, I get asked this a lot. Steve brought up something in class this morning, wondering how many people talk to people about the church or about Jesus, and I try to engage in a lot of conversations, and one of the things that was brought up to me the other day by my doctor that I went to meet up at Vanderbilt, he was asking me what did I do, and I told him, I said, well, I preach, I run a water and sewer system, and I've started my own business, and I work on fire hydrants. And he said, well, I can tell you what your problem is. He said, you need to slow down. Then he engaged talking to me about the church. And I like that. I do. I like for someone to ask me. And he began to ask me, he said, how big is your church? You see, there's a problem with that question. Young people, listen to me just a minute. Tim Rogers does not have a church. I've not died for any of y'all. I don't own one. My body was not sacrificed so that you could be saved. The problem with someone, I know what he meant, okay? I'm not being ugly. I know what he meant. But when we break it down and we look at the way people say things about the church, I do not have one. I'm a minister of the gospel. I preach. I'm actually filling in. I'm filling in. I preach the gospel is what I do. The world today has taken, and we have gone so far with what the Bible tells us, that people have churches today. The Bible is clear when we talk about a particular denomination. The Bible is clear that we call no man father on this earth, and there is a denomination that they call their preachers, leaders, whatever you want to call it, father. So when we go back and we look at the church, we look at the way it began, we have to go back to the scriptures and say, this is exactly what we're teaching. So what's in the name? He asked me the other day, that's where I was going, lost my train of thought. The doctor asked me the other day, what was I? I said, I'm a Christian. And I smiled. He said, yeah, I am too, but what are you? I said, well, I'm just a Christian. He said, what flavor are you? I started to say the Bible, but I didn't want to keep on. I told him I was a member of the Church of Christ. But you're only a Christian. You're not a Church of Christ. You're not a Church of Christer. You're not anything like that. You're simply a Christian, a New Testament Christian. And when you obey the gospel, the Lord adds you to his body. His body is the church of Christ, the body of Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 1 and following. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We have got to make sure that we have the oneness of the church. I don't have time, but you can go to the book of John chapter 17 and verse 20, and Jesus actually prayed that we have unity, that we speak the same thing, that we don't have division among us. The very word denomination, what does it mean? It means division. It means we're a division of something else, and God's whole purpose and Jesus' whole purpose was that we all teach and say and do the same thing. These are the seven ones we just read here in Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about there's one body, there's one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one of those. Now, think about it for just a minute. I wish I had another hour because I got a lot to say. Don't worry. Think about today the word baptism. How do you go from what we're saying here, there's only one of them, to we go over here and we say, well, what we're going to do, and it was on a sign I read in Milan not long ago, we sprinkle, pour, or immerse. Whichever way you like it, whichever way you want it, that's what we're going to do. How do we go from there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, to saying, we're going to do it, Jimmy, however it suits you. Whatever makes you happy, that's what we're going to do. I have trouble with that. Next, we have to make sure that all we follow is the Bible. We don't ever need to be a people that votes on things. We don't need to get to the point in the church and expect to be the church that we can go before a board of directors or something and decide whether or not we're going to change the Bible. It's not going to happen. We don't need a creed book. We don't need a manual. We've got a manual, and it's called the Word of God. And we take that and we interpret that and we follow that to the very best of our ability. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through the end of the chapter, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of doctrine, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then finally, I think I followed them all up here, I'm not sure. Talked about the plan of worship a little bit. God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about us. It's about God. It's not about how I feel. It's about how God feels. Just about every Sunday before we come out of this room, I normally lead us in prayer before we come out here, and I normally say something in that prayer about to God's glory. That when we go out and lead this congregation in this worship service, or we worship God today, that we bring glory to God in all that we do. Why the Church of Christ? Because of the salvation. And we done talked about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Well, finally, and I'm going to close because I know I'm running out of time. What about salvation? He saves the body, Ephesians 5:23. Acts 2 and verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Something's wrong with saying, are you going to join the church? You can't join it. You're not going to be voted in. You're not going to decide that, hey, I'm going to join. The best thing that you can do is follow the Bible's teachings. Hear the Word of God. Study on it. Get to the point that you have faith and belief in the Word of God and decide then that, yes, I'm going to act on this. I'm going to follow this through. I believe the Scriptures well enough from what I've heard and what I read that I'm going to follow through with this, and it's going to change your life, and you repent of your sins. You turn away from the world. You turn away from the sin, and you say, I am going to live for Jesus, and then you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that He is the Son of God. And then you be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what you do. That's how you get added to the body of Christ, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Well, what do we need to do today? We need to be obedient. We need to put aside man's teachings for just a minute. Clear your minds if you're not a Christian. Think for a minute, do you want to be pleasing to man or do you want to be pleasing to God? I just went over the plan of salvation just a few moments ago. Are you willing to make that sacrifice in your life? Are you willing to say, today I'm going to become a child of God. I'm going to be immersed for the remission of my sins. There's no greater day that you can possibly have. Can you be saved without obeying the gospel? Can you be saved today that if you just believe in God or you love God and you try to do the very best that you can you be saved? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and listen, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Obedience is part of salvation. It's us following through. Well, what about those of us that may not be faithful to God, that we walked away from God? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 says, if after you escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then you are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. It says it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It tears me up when people walk out that door unfaithful to God. Tears me up when people walk out that door because they had their feelings hurt or got a little upset over something, and they walk away from the church and walk away from God completely. It would have been better to have never come through them doors. It would have been better to have never obeyed the gospel at all. It would have been better not to have ever seen a Bible and read it and obeyed it than it would obey it and lay it down and walk away. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come right now while we stand and sing.